Hi, Brian.
Hi, old man. I
spent, I think, 5 hours with Glenn. I don't know if John told you. She's not interested in the book at all. It's just a...
Yeah, that's what
you're
telling me.
Yeah.
How'd you hold up with 5 hours?
Well, by the end of the 5 hours, I was... But she's doing everything chronologically. So we're now at 1972.
Oh, my God.
I think she's going to be back.
I'm trying. I'm just answering questions. Let's go to Ecclesiastes chapter 3.
We love it.
Brian, don't tell jokes, don't sing. No, I don't, but I'm thankful I don't. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. And if somebody has a page, is she using one of the stolen Bibles? You can tell her what page it's on.
521.
Well, we have a whole room full of Bible scholars here. So.
Hey, I did disciple. At one point, I could say all of them in order.
No, I know, but this isn't the place to do that. You didn't. You'd
run out, huh?
No, you would just make everybody feel badly.
That's 521 is the wrong answer. Who gave us that?
Mine's on 714.
All right, when's it come after?
Page 714.
Verse 10, chapter 3, I have seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it, to be humbled in it. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. He hath also set the world, or ha'olam, in their hearts, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. I know that there is no good in them, but for a man to rejoice and to do good in his life. And also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor, for it is a gift of God. I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And God doeth it that men should fear before him. That which hath been is now, that which is to be hath already been, and God requireth that which is past. And we talked yesterday about how everything in the Messianic age happened at least once in the Torah and in the prophets. Now, there's another take. When you read the Talmud, it's forever. But the word where it says God requireth that which is past, another equally valid translation of that is, God seeketh that which is pursued. So, we're going to see if we can figure out what that means. And it all fits in terms of everything else we've studied, but... everything in the universe is in antagonism to the true mystery of God. And its purpose is to see whether you are going to follow your own nose, or instead you'll continue with him and his test. And so everything, that's why the idea of who killed Christ is eternal, and it's everything, everyone did. Because he was the one pursued. And you go through all of the offerings, and you'll see that every one of the offerings, whether it's the lamb, or the goat, or the oxen, they're all pursued. They're all pursued by predators. And it gives us an idea that we, that his people, if they're the type of the if the sheep are the type of his people, that we can never be the winners. We can never be the successful, because we are the pursued instead of the ones pursuing. And we'll go through a whole bunch of this, but Abel, God demands the blood of the pursued from the pursuers. It starts out, Abel was pursued by Cain. God chose Abel. Noah was pursued by his entire generation. God chose Noah. Abraham was pursued by Nimrod. And God chose Abraham. And every story that we read in the scriptures reveals this mystery of God seeketh that which is pursued. And therefore you can never expect your life to be at the top of the heap, whether it's economically, whether it's socially, whether it's anything. And this is why the gospel is preached to the poor, to the weak, to the failures. Everybody else will hear it as an instrument to improve their pursuing, because the ears aren't circumcised. They haven't been circumcised by failure. The heart hasn't been circumcised by failure, so that everybody believes the one singular lie that your purpose in life is self-realization. And it goes on and on, and you have to combat it every single day, because your mind is part of the one that is, your mind is the pursuer. And Christ is the one that's being pursued or hunted. As we've said so often, every single thought that you have, every idea, if you believe what Martin Luther and others have said, is a thought, one of the thorns in the crown of thorns is pushed into his head. Every time you think you have something to do, it's a nail in your right hand. Every time you think you have some place to go, it's a nail into your foot, his foot. And so we crucify him constantly. And so he's seeking not the one that is the successful, not the one that is in the position of gaining his, it's always the pursuit. Got it? Anybody have any response?
No, I was just thinking, anytime the church becomes a predator, then you know you're really off kilter. Or even when we approach that place by wanting to pursue something, hunt it down, get it.
Amen.
That word pursue has a connotation of
go after.
Huh?
Go after. So yeah, you're pursuing an idea. That's the whole. That's the reason idolatry is so evil.
Yeah, but like you said, Cain pursued Adam.
No, Cain pursued Abel.
Adam pursued
Abel.
Abel.
But that pursue was not a positive pursuance.
No, it was.
He was
crucifying Christ.
Yeah. So the connotation of pursue is just something new to me.
Well, pursue means like hunted down.
Yeah. Like a hunter going after a deer.
Now, this isn't what we're taught. Your whole life we're taught that you're, at least I was taught, and my mind perfectly agreed with it, to be the pursuer.
What?
To be the pursuer.
You win at all costs.
Kind of like a wolf.
Yeah. Kind of like...
Are you saying all pursuing even... I understand self-realization, but for knowledge and understanding, even that is not...
Whatever is a gain to you is a loss to Christ. Because he's already complete in you, and the mystery of God is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So anything that you pursue... You, by definition, are an enemy of him. You can't apprehend the mystery of God. That's why I constantly bust the evil one over here for his inordinate curiosity. Because curiosity is supposedly a virtue. You've been taught that your whole intellectual life. It's a virtue to be curious, but to have in some integrity with your curiosity. That you would push it all the way to the end to see that vanity of vanity, all is vanity. All is empty and futile. Got it?
The other side of that was that we are apprehended.
Yeah, we are apprehended. We don't apprehend him. We can't choose him.
And what's the scripture? It's like, well, Paul says something.
Well, John says it clearly. John says it. He said, we are born not by the will of God or the will of man or the will of the flesh, but by the will of God. And that being born again can't happen until you come to the end of yourself. Oh, I know. Is that you? Not that you, why I've apprehended, but that I would be apprehended by. Philippians. Did I have your approval on that, Ronnie? Okay. Ronnie sits back like he's the worship leader or something. Abraham was pursued by Nimrod, who chose Abraham. Isaac was pursued by everybody, but especially the Philistines. He chose Isaac. Of course, Jacob was pursued by Esau, and he chose Jacob. Joseph was pursued by his brothers, and he chose Joseph. Moses was pursued by Pharaoh, and he chose Pharaoh. Now, it doesn't matter whether the reason that you were pursued was because you screwed up. Moses was pursued by Pharaoh because he killed an Egyptian. Abraham was pursued all over the place because he didn't stay in the rest. And he went down to Egypt for the slightest famine. So, I mean, it shows you how all you have to do is live, but live with everything in you so that you can come to the end of it. And the mistakes are meaningless. You can't make a mistake if you have any kind of integrity. But everybody, I love it when people, I had it yesterday. Can I be honest with you for a minute? What the hell were you doing all the other times?
Keep it real. Keep lying.
David was pursued by Saul. God chose David. Saul was pursued by the Philistines, and God chose Saul. Israel was pursued by the nations, and God chose Israel. But he didn't choose that stupid piece of land over there. Those people aren't any more special than anybody else. We're not God's people any more than anybody else is. That was the parable, so that we could see the mystery lived out in a body of people. Do you understand, as I said yesterday, there is no, if Jesus Christ returned and walked the earth like they say he's going to and set up his kingdom 1,000 years, there is absolutely no way that anyone could prove that he was Messiah. Because there's no genealogical records. And so his genealogy has to be fulfilled. That's why all the New Testaments filled in Matthew and Luke are filled with the genealogy. He was son of Hon, son of son, son of son, son of son, and begat and begat and begat. The reason all the begats are in there because all the prophecies have to be fulfilled in that begatting. And there's no records. Nobody can, all these people who call themselves Jews, they're more a Jew than you or I are. They haven't, there's no way anybody can prove it. Now they're trying to prove it by DNA. Well, maybe they got a little bit. Well, that doesn't count.
That's the funniest thing I've ever heard. So what are you going to compare it to? A sample of God's DNA?
The ones that are the nearest Semites are not the Israelis. The Semites, the nearest Semites, are the people of are the what are the nomads called?
Bedouins.
Huh? Bedouins.
According to Romans, aren't we Jews? I mean, aren't we? According to Romans chapter 2.
He is a Jew. I'm glad you asked that. He is not a Jew who was one outwardly.
Thank you.
No, we're not. You haven't heard the rest of it. But he is a Jew whose circumcision is of the heart. Wait, you know how you know whether or not your circumcision is of the heart? Because you no longer need the praise or acceptance of men. If you still need or are searching for approval or acceptance from men, it's the evidence that the circumcision has only just begun. Anytime you say you want to be somebody's friend, it means the circumcision isn't fulfilled because you're still needing the approval of men.
But once the circumcision is complete, aren't we Jews?
Israel. Israel. Jew, Israel. You know what Jew means? You know what the word Jew comes from?
What?
Judah. You know why? Because Israel was initially the 10 northern tribes, and Judah and Benjamin were the 2 southern tribes. Judah's job was the keeper of the bloodline. Benjamin's job was the keeper of the temple. The 10 northern tribes went into apostasy very early and were spread throughout the nations and just dissolved. The 2 northern tribes, 2 southern tribes, Benjamin and Judah, tried to keep the temple going, and they did keep the bloodline going. Judah did. But then on the cross it says, "The love of Christ constraineth us, for we will thus judge that if one died for all, then we are all dead." The human race died on the cross. He was the last Adam. So there's only 2 left: the bride and the whore. The only one that's the bride, the best you can be after the flesh, is a friend of the bridegroom.
I don't follow something that you just said.
I don't care. Rabbi Eliezer says, Israel pursued by the nations and chose Israel. Rabbi Eliezer says it's the same with all the offerings. The ox is pursued by the lion, the goat by the leopard, the lamb by the wolf. It says, "Do not bring me offerings of the pursuers, but from the pursued." And that's why. And again, you got to hear this. When you present yourself as a living sacrifice, you can't be one of the pursuers, because he only accepts the offering of the pursuers. Of the pursued, and you're offering it, and your money or your anyway. You only reason your offering has any merit is because of who you contain. Therefore, you are perfected from God's standpoint, and therefore it should be from yours. You have been perfected forever by that one offering, so you no longer even see yourself after the flesh. You know, there's neither male nor female, bond or free, black or white, young or old, Jew or Greek. The mystery and the anti. There's the mystery of God and the instead of the mystery of God. And the instead of the mystery of God is you, your mind.
You see, where man, God has declared us dead, but man does everything he can to use even the scriptures to try and pump life back into the dead.
Tries to raise himself from the deadly head wound.
Right. thinks he's doing all right if he's, you know, gaining understanding of what the scripture is supposed to do.
It's just a joke. I didn't make this up. I don't want anybody to believe anything I say. I don't give a crap whether you believe me or not. But I want you to have the integrity to search the scriptures to see whether these things are true or not. Or just go away and beat me up in your mind, as some of you do often, then that's a little crazy. Harry has succeeded in making me beg for mercy in his mind about 3,000 times. Gary probably 5,000 times.
Gary's older
than I am.
You should see. What? Gary's older than I am.
He's been here longer.
More time. Had a head start on.
Keep it hard for me here.
Anyway, does that, the understanding of this, give you an idea of what, when he said he's coming to preach the gospel to the poor, to the needy, to the meek, to the empty, to the ones who have seen the futility of life. But everybody, they think it's going to be an add-on. They're going to fix themselves. They're going to get a wife, get paid. Girlfriend, you're going to get whatever. It's not about you getting anything. Is that settled?
You know, one of the things we've talked about in the area is quick repentance. Speaks to me to the motivation of the initial action of picking up the book or seeking in your mind or whatever it is. If your motive is to find something for yourself, stop it.
Well, you can't. You can't stop it until you've seen the end of it.
Well, what about quick repentance?
Well,
I mean, that's what I'm talking about.
How many times have you said, I'm crucified with Christ, I'm crucified with Christ?
Well, you see the end when you start because you've already been through that 20 times.
Well, I hope. But again, it's obvious. Remember? I mean, just think about it in your own experience.
Well, that's a readiness to revenge on disobedience once your obedience is fulfilled. It's fulfilled the first time you know. It's over. It's done. It's finished. You're the Antichrist, et cetera, et cetera. Then after that, everything else is just revenging disobedience. Then it's quick repentance because
you've been because you've seen a trillion times.
You have been obedient. You've seen the truth.
Exactly.
It's being restored to it. I think that's what.
See, Harry understands.
I think that's what it means.
Okay, that's enough of that. Verse 16. And moreover, I saw under the sun the place of judgment. Wickedness was there in the place of righteousness. That iniquity was there. Now that could easily be said. I saw under the sun the place of judgment and that the wicked one was there. And the place of righteousness and that self-seeking was there. Now, let's go to Matthew 25. Let me explain something. you know, by anyone's opinion and judgment or whatever, you know, it was in the case what just happened earlier when he asked me a question and I said, I don't care, or I don't understand, and I said, I don't care. That was really rude and bad. Now, I do that to people all the time. Now, the question is that really rude and bad from God's standpoint or from the scriptural standpoint? Rightly says, yes, it is. And it may be. But I've spent many years studying this stuff. And it's like I have to make it, I don't think about it, it just happens. You know, many times people ask me questions and I sit around and try to answer them. But I think probably the majority of the time my response is, go look it up. I don't care. Don't.
More and more lately.
More and more, the older I get. And the reason is this, and let me give you this example. There's this great story about the desert fathers in Egypt, with the Christians that, you know, that lived in the caves and the mountains back on the Sinai. And a woman had sold everything she had and traveled from Alexandria to across the Sinai Desert and traveled to this particular teacher. And you've heard me talk about this before, but it's one of my favorite stories of that period of time. And she said to him, he acknowledged her, and he said, she told him what had happened, and she sold what she had to get money to be able to. And he asked her a simple question. He said, he didn't welcome her or anything. He asked her a simple question. He said, did you pick up anything along the way? And she reached in her, whatever, and she pulled out this couple of stones that she had picked up, that were, you know, really beautiful little stones that she probably picked them up as a memento or something. And he said, go put them back. It was probably 300 miles back that she had to walk back to put the stones back. I'm too old and too cranky and too churlish I'm not going to judge myself or change myself. It's too late. And I wanted to, that's why that I am sometimes that way with you, because in my opinion you want something to understand it. And so I sometimes just say to you, no. Because, and I don't know why, but I think it has to do with me telling you, you've picked up something for yourself or trying to, go put it back. And that's true for every one of us. We can't pick up anything along the way, including memorized Bible verses or some crap. You have to go put whatever you picked up along the way, you got to go put it back, so that you come before him empty. Does that make any... You understand that? Because your knowledge I spent all those hours yesterday with that reporter trying to... I have no... There's no reason anybody should ever listen to me. I have no credentials. You know, I'm rude. Why would anybody even spend 2 seconds listening to anything I say? And then the second part of it is, I don't care whether you listen or not. I'm not trying to get you to come here. I don't want anything from you. I care that you understand and be apprehended by the mystery of God, and that can't be done with your mind. Okay.
Many of us come for the free breakfast.
I come for the witty repartee.
Matthew 25, and I'm just going to read the scripture, and then we'll study it tomorrow. Not 25, 23, I'm sorry. I knew that was wrong. Matthew 23 and 24. If anybody thinks that Jesus is a good teacher and a nice guy, you should read it. But he's just talked about you sons of the sorcerer, you children of the whore, you seed of the snake, you generation of the snake, you know, all those kind of good, nice things.
It's all in red.
It says, wherefore in verse 29, woe unto you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. And they're not talking about those guys. Unless you know you're the scribe and the Pharisee, then you'll just read over this. Woe unto you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you build the tombs of the prophets and garnish the sepulchres of the righteous, and say, if we had been in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Wherefore you be witnesses unto yourselves that you are the children of them which killed the prophets. Fill you up then the measure of your fathers. Now the only way you fill up the measure of your fathers, and if we could read the Buckner chapter here too, Isaiah 57, where you're called a child of the whore and a seed of falsehood and a son of the snake and all those other good things. You have to see that that's your entire genealogy back to the beginning, because it's all of the fall. It's all of this incessant demand for you to be like God, judging for yourself good and evil and right and wrong and whether I understand something or not. And all this great sincerity, oh, I'm just a seeker. So until you understand it, you are the scribe and the hypocrite. You are the ones that this is being written to. Yeah, you've been with him from the beginning. You were Cain that slew Abel. You were Nimrod who chased. Until you see that's who you are, and therefore you are the chief of sinners. You are the instead of Christ in this temple of the living God, which you're supposed to be are. And none of this will make any sense, because you will always misdirect. You will always make you the good guy and these other guys the bad guy. So, you got that? Wherefore, be you witnesses unto yourselves that you are the children of them which killed the prophets. Fill you up then the measure of your fathers. In other words, come to the fullness of that recognition instead of dancing around through the rules and laws and the societal mores and trying to figure out how you can wiggle your way through this situation or that situation. You are the ones that killed the prophets. You are the one that killed Christ. And you are the chief of sinners. And until that hits you, you might as well just go jack off. I didn't say that. I ruined the whole Bible study.
Can't use that tape.
I'm really offended.
I'm very happy. Wherefore, well, then it gets worse. You serpents, you sons of the snake, how can you escape the damnation of hell? Well, that's not very nice. These are the red words, Ronnie. Wherefore, behold, I send unto you prophets and wise men and scribes, and some of them you kill and crucify, and some of them you scourge in your synagogues and persecute them from city to city, that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of the righteous Abel unto the blood of Zechariah, son of Bacharias, whom you slew between the temple and the altar. Verily I say unto you, all these things shall come upon this generation. And what is that generation? Whichever one reads it. And so we're going to start tomorrow. We'll find out what it says. In the place of justice, there's wickedness. In the place of righteousness, there's iniquity. That's the reference back to Ecclesiastes. We'll find out what this blood of Zacharias and what that means to you. Oh, does anybody have any honest, sincere questions? Any expansions on the tale? That's what I'm interested in. How you see this, how this is manifested. Not some crappy questions.
It's like picking up the stones with your agenda. You pick up some kind of agenda. Mm-hmm. So you're going to find out this great thing, but you have an agenda.
That's right. And, you get, and therefore you're...
You can't allow that to happen.
Really, like in 29, where it talks about woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees. If in between that comma and the word scribes, your name is inserted, it becomes very painful to read that. But if you don't have to see that it's you, it's you. You're pointing your finger at
those Jews back then.
Somebody else, and you feel good about it. But as soon as you can see your name in there, you don't.
And the woman, supposedly she sold everything. She was coming empty, but in reality she wasn't. You know,
that's
by evidence of taking the stones, and he, instead of telling her that, spoke to it by saying, you're not empty, you know.
Go put them back.
Put them back. And so, you know, we do the same thing. We have this appearance of being empty, or we think we're empty, but we're really empty in order to get something. To be truly empty is then being empty, not you know, awaiting to get something.
Even you have to empty yourself of the promise, even of the very your salvation itself. You have to empty that constantly, otherwise you will pollute it. That's why I used to get so furious at those people that would, no, I didn't get furious, just made an unmiserable fun of them. Once saved, always saved. That's just heresy.
I think what happens is we, you know, do this, sell all you have, and then we put it in storage. Well, I've sold all I have, and I put it in storage. And now I'm ready to...
Well, it doesn't matter what you... The physical stuff is immaterial. It's what you. It's this stuff up here.
Yeah.
You know, that's why anytime somebody says to me, well, that's just the way I was raised. Go put it back. That's just the kind of person I am. Go put it back. Amen? You look troubled, Ronnie. You're going to quit coming to Bible study now.
Just try to see if I show up here tomorrow.
And see if I care.
I'll show you.
Remember, I had Bible study. Nobody came.
Yeah.
Usually on holidays.
No. just shut up, Harry. You have to.
Asleep in their beds and you're over here forgetting
take a big guy.
Get mad at folks.